Extravaganza.
Hello, all you scaredy cats, cool kids, and ghoulies out there in the world. Welcome to episode 7 of the Horror Pop Extravaganza. I am one of your hosts here, Pops Ghostly. And with me, as always, is
Felton Gigglesnatch.
Felton Gigglesnatch. Felton, how are you today, man?
Good. I'm great. I'm happy to be here to talk about one of my fellow Dutch films.
Yes, yes. Today I'm very excited about. I can't remember who it was. Somebody messaged me though about your names and shit, and they were all excited about it. And I was telling, I don't even think Shayna listened to the episode, but I told her it was John Jacob Jingleheim and Clay. I was like, he might have like just climaxed too early. Like that might be the best name ever created. So we only got an hour to do this thing, so let's jump right into it. As many of you know, what's your name? Feldman?
Felton.
Felton. Felton has not seen a lot of things. And the one we're talking about today, though, I know maybe a wider audience hasn't seen. However, you know, it's on Hulu. It's streaming a bunch of other places. It's gained a big cult following over the years. And I want to start by saying huge shout out to our boy Sometimes Phil over at the Making Tarantino podcast. Because, I mean, this shit, I've had that poster now for like probably a year or two. I don't know. Somebody let us know. You probably remember that shit. But he sent me a big like theatrical size poster that he had found of this movie, you know, like the Beautiful. Big one you'd see. Yeah. Like 3.5 or 4 foot by whatever, you know, the monster size. And it's a great poster because you got this gnarly ass Santa on the front. And then just like this little kid, which you learn is a helmet, but looks like he might be a fucking astronaut or some shit. So without further ado, we are talking about Rare Exports and Felton Gigglesnatch. Felton Gigglesnatch. Okay.
Right. Yeah. It's all in how you pronunciate it.
Right. I put the emphasis on the wrong syllable. Felton, laid on us, Rare Exports, this great little gem, in my opinion. I can't wait to see what you thought of this thing. But yeah, how'd this thing come to be? How did it happen?
All right. So this movie, it's subtitled. So if you don't do subtitles, although a lot of it is dubbed in English.
I see, and I thought some of that might have been recorded in English, and then I mean, I've seen this movie quite a few times, but you're right, there is a lot of English in there, but what country does it come from? Is it,
I want to say,
I just looked at it, and I can't,
Finnish. It's from Finnish. Finland.
That's so it. Because this is like their like super old story or some shit. That's like an old Finnish tale of sorts. That's clearly been brought to the modern age.
Right. This thing came out in 2010. It's rated R, 124 minutes. I am going to slaughter these names, but what I will say is Jorma Tormilia is the star of this thing, and he is the star of Sisu, which is the greatest movie I've seen all year.
Dude, it is. Sisu is fucking unreal good. And this is his real kid, the one who plays his kid, right?
Ani Tamilia is his real
son. And you know, we do really try with these names. Like, we never intentionally butcher these names. Right. It's hard. I'm fucking sitting in the Midwest. You're way out in the Pacific Northwest. We try our best. So if we do butcher any of these, apologies.
It's directed by Ameliora Hellander.
Hey, I'll take it.
Yeah. Also written by him, which is, I find when you get movies that are on this level of craziness, the writer has to be the director, because you just can't.
They're the only one who understands it.
Exactly.
They're the only one who understands
the have to go into it and just be like, just trust me, this thing's going to be awesome. So you want to hear what the summary for this is?
Absolutely, my man. Absolutely.
All right.
Felton Gigglesnatch.
Listen to the giggle snatch in the
giggle depths. Snatch, giggle snatch, giggle snatch.
Oh, now you've done it.
He's right behind me.
It's showtime.
Okay, synopsis.
In the depths of the Corvin Conti Mountains, 486 meters deep, lies the closest ever guarded secret of Christmas. The time has come to dig it up. The Christmas everyone will believe in Santa Claus.
Bum, 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 bum.
Bum, bum, bum.
So what did you, know anything about this going into it, or did you just fly in blind?
Totally.
That's the best, dude.
Totally,
yes.
Blind, yeah.
Yes. Okay. So before we even, you know what? We'll wait. We'll just talk, because I was going to say, give me a little something, but I just want to talk through this movie and, you know, your experience with Rare Exports for the first time. I want to say I didn't see it maybe till 7-8 years ago. I know I didn't see it when it first released. It probably took some time. You know, it's one of the movies that takes a little bit. But what got me with this is that right from the jump, I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Right.
Like, this is fantastic. Like, yeah. This is fantastic. So we open up on a James Bondy type mountain scene. Like, yes. I love our nefarious with the fedora and the cane and like, we're here to do things. he's super slimy and super greasy. But they're blowing him or drilling into the mountain. They didn't start blowing it up yet. They're drilling into the mountain. And one of the contract workers is like, I can't fucking explain this. Like, there's sawdust, you know, and we're drilling and it's so far down and we found sawdust. And this guy gets excited. He's like, oh yes, we found him. And so he's like, keep going, we're gonna start blasting. We've only got 24 days to do this because it's leading up to Christmas. And that's what, so at this point in the movie, where are you at?
Dude, I'm just like, I'm here for this ride. I like it. I like what I'm seeing so far. The production budget on this is really
solid.
Good. This is not like a low budget movie. This is probably like one of the higher budget movies that came out of Finland that year.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, it's got some CGI elements that have dated, you know, it's been 13 years, but even those couple small things are minimal.
Right.
They were smart enough to not like young face motherfuckers. And then three years later, it looks terrible. Right. And you're like, oh shit. Like, that's just a face floating on a head. This is really weird. I don't like that. So yeah. So we jump from there immediately to which is such an amazing location. I hope he found this location and was like, I'm going to write a movie around this, dude,
right.
Because it is beautiful. Like, you can just watch this movie. And even Shayna, when I was watching it the other night, because she's watched it with me a bunch of times, and she's like, man, it's just so fucking pretty. Like, the mountains are so pretty. And we have our two leads, and I can't remember how they kept saying their names, like Pierte, maybe something like that. What is, call him son and old man. My apologies to the Finnish people, but I feel like that's better than butchering it. It'll be like Kratos, just like boy, because that's what this shit feels like.
It does.
Yeah. He's very, you know, we see this fatherly figure. And again, if you haven't seen Sisu, holy shit, dude.
Drop
I watched
what you're
it.
Doing in Sisu.
All right. It's so good.
I
he
bet
looks
it's the
a
same
lot
director.
Like Thomas Jane, dude. He looks a lot like Thomas Jane.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah.
When I saw it, I was like, oh, an older Thomas Jane. Okay. Yeah. But he's working for a fucking living. I mean, this man is working for everything he has. It's like backbreaking labor.
Yeah.
And his kid and the little neighbor boy had snuck up onto the mountain and seen heard some of the conversation. And the one little kid starts putting it together. Our main little boy, Pierte. I don't know. I'm trying my best here. I'm trying my best, people. But he lives in like a Harry Potter type library where he's got every book you can ever imagine about Santa. And he's just up there. Shit reminds me of the Never Ending Story, like huddled up, on his books, falling asleep with his head on the fucking window, like trying to look out for Santa Claus. We move pretty quickly to the gang of locals. We have like two of his friends, Pierte's dad, his dad's friends, who are pretty throughout the whole movie. Like, they hang out. The one dresses up as Santa and goes around. The little kid looks like he should be in a fucking 80s metal band. Like, or with one of the Corys in like a movie circa 87. Like, he just has the look.
The one blonde friend with the beard, it reminded me of Kurt Russell from The Thing.
Oh, dude, a little bit. I can see that. McCready. But he... they're going to go gather. It's like the reindeer migration, where this is what they do. They slaughter reindeer. They send the meat out everywhere. And so everybody's gathered up. They're excited about it. And they've heard talk of wolves, but nothing huge yet. And when the reindeer show up, there's only two of them. And they're like, what the fuck? Like, we're supposed to have $85,000. And I love this dude that he's just like, I don't need any extra. Like, I just need that $85,000 that I was going to get out of these reindeer. This whole movie, he's like, how much is that? Is it $85,000? Okay. That's good enough for me. So they go to corral the reindeer. Only two show up. They go a little bit over the horizon and we see just a fucking slaughter of reindeer. I mean, and this movie is graphic in a lot of ways, in the best ways. Dead reindeer and old man wieners. that would be the name of my memoir. Dead reindeer and old man wieners.
Forward by Felton Giggle Snatch.
Right. They see all these slaughtered reindeer, find a hole in the fence that's been cut, and then Dad sets a trap for the wolf, which is a badass trap, dude. Yeah. Like, he really takes the time. Like, he does all this too, builds this sweet pit full of spikes, covers it in sticks and snow and shit, goes in, starts making gingerbread. I'm like, this guy's got everything. I want to be with this man. Like, he's got
full Arnold from Predator, and then goes full Arnold from Jingle All the Way.
Right. Within like a scene change, though. Yeah, it's immediate. It's not a big window of time here. And the kid is trying to talk to his buddy. He's trying to, at this point, at least trying to drop some hints like, hey, he's like, what the fuck is going on? Like, and we see this really cool blast on the mountain, too. And they start blasting these like smoky horns and shit come up. It's like, yo, dude, OK, that's some cool foreshadowing.
I just heard like the fucking axe guitar. Right.
This is very like if an 80s metal album came to life. Totally. That is a lot of what this feels like in the best way possible. If it's like a great album that I just want to listen to, you know, and then maybe take a couple days and listen to it again. It's not something you listen to over and over.
It's like,
and over again.
It's like a Dokken Christmas special.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so down for that. I'm so down for that. The trap gets the little kid's got to go take a piss. And I love it because that's how we are in Michigan. Like when I was a little kid, dude, you just walk outside in your underwear. Like we have one bathroom and I had all these brothers and sisters. You just be like, fuck it. Pee outside in your underwear when it's, you know, 10 below and then hurry up and get back inside again. He's like, I got to go take a piss, Dad. And that's when he notices the trap has been sprung. And so he's like, hey, and I love this kid. Don't listen to his dad either. He's like, stay there. And he just keeps creeping up behind him every couple of minutes. Stay there. Just come creeping up behind him. But they go see the trap and he's like, oh, fuck. This is bad. Hey, kid, go. Like, get the fuck out of here. Calls up the homies, and we see that it was a really gangly kind of Silent Hill looking old man, like a very old man, but a very long, kind of the Krampus-y long face and a very long nose. And so they've got him up on the slab and he's like, yo, them wolf traps are fucking illegal, bro. And you caught a fucking geriatric. Like, what are we going to do? He's like, you're in it too. You're right here. He did throw him right under the bus, dude.
I didn't see you stopping me.
Right.
When I was sharpening them sticks, those pokey sticks.
And so they're going to dismember this dude and just get rid of the evidence.
As one does. I mean, like,
as one does.
Mountain rules.
Right, dude. That's a different way of life. You know, they're going to give him a good burial, but they go to start poking and prodding at him. This motherfucker jumps. And it's like, or like breathes a little bit, or is, and he even checks him with the knife by his nose. But I think it's what, at first, because the son walks in the door. And that's the thing, is he smells the kid.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
It starts,
nostrils flare and shit.
Yeah, it starts to stir him. This like 8 foot long alien man starts to slowly, and like his eyes are just real slow, like creeping over to this side and shit, and like looking at the boy. And so they're, I mean, again, like, holy fuck, like he's alive. And so they go, little boy and dad go outside. Kurt Russell stays inside. Not really Kurt Russell.
Don't get excited.
Finish Kurt Russell. Which all of the actors in this do amazing. Like, solid performances.
Everybody's pretty really good.
Yeah. Everybody's good.
I bet in Finland they're the shit. And I feel bad. We should have done our research and looked what everybody was in. But
right.
These are all great performances. Great actors.
Right. All really good performances. So he's in there and starts getting real. Or he's eating maybe he's eating the gingerbread. And that's because they get stirred by kids and gingerbread. Mm-hmm. These creatures get stirred by these two things. But he gets too close. And this fucker pulls a Tyson, dude, and just bites his ear right off. Like, I mean, the whole side of his face is pretty much gone. He comes outside like, that thing ain't normal. Like, I don't know what the fuck this is, but I'm out. They're like, no way, you can't be out. And so they find a radio because the old man showed up wearing a jacket that we had seen earlier from the demo crew. Mm-hmm. He was wearing some kind of coat, and they find a radio after they get this guy all tied up and shit. He's just hanging there and they're just all staring at him, sharing gingerbread and shit.
That's such a creepy scene, though. The old man, he's hanging and he's got his arms like restrained in front of him, you know, and they've got him in like a green sack.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
he's just hanging there from the ceiling and he's kind of smiling.
Like eyeballing him yeah, super
and they're
weird.
Just staring at him. And it was giving me such a like just chills down my spine.
It was good though.
Oh, I love
you're
it.
Right. And they're just sharing gingerbread staring at this dude. Like, yeah. what the fuck are we going to do with this? And the radio had gone off at some point. And they're like, hey, who is this? We got Santa Claus. We want $85,000. The other guy's like, yo, $1 million. Like, if this is really Santa Claus. And he's like, no, fuck it. Tell him $85,000. Like, that's all we need. They are going to, I feel like we've, at this point, the kids had already started going missing, right? Like his little homie, mm-hmm. like when he went over there, yeah, he's like, hey, where's the other kid at? And he's like, oh, I don't know. He starts calling everyone like, hey, where are the kids at? And they're like, oh, I don't know. Have you seen him? He's like, no, it's okay. So the village kids are getting snatched up. All the radiators in town have been snatched up. His fucking wife's hair dryer got snatched. We see that a couple times. Our one guy, but they contact whoever, I can't remember the name of the organization, but whoever this fedora wearing James Bond type works for it, he gives them this special list. He's like, these are the new safety rules, like no cussing, no being mean, no, you know, this, that, or the other. And they're like, what the fuck ever? The one dude says it, and then all of a sudden, all his homies are gone and just like dead on the mountaintop. He's like, I told you, dummy, like you can't do that. So they're gonna meet up with him. He comes in very James Bond like in a helicopter, and then you're right though, I guess that is very Kurt Russell like, because he could fly the fucking helo and shit.
Oh, yeah,
dude. Like he did all that as well.
I feel like he had the glasses too at one point, like the big old honking glasses and shit.
He did.
Yeah, he's a badass.
And when he was because he originally showed up dressed as Santa.
Right.
Because he bebopped around the village to all the kids' houses and were pretend to be Santa, you know, da 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 da.
This whole film, I will say, definitely pulls some inspiration from The Thing. The way it looks and the way it feels, that isolation, icy sure. mountaintops and stuff.
Cold. It cold. Feels cold, dude.
So
they make
cold.
It feel
yeah.
cold.
Yeah.
Yes, this movie feels very cold. You're right. It is very much like The Thing in a lot of ways. Without the singular, you know, entity trying to do its thing. Yeah, we have multiple here. And this is where we're fully introduced to them, because the overlord who's trying to save Santa or dig up Santa or whatever, he comes up to the crate and like touches the old man's beard and they're like, hey, our 85 grand. And he's like, yo, this isn't Santa though. And they're like,
that's what I was like, what?
Right. Because you believe up until this point, like this thing looks like a Santa Claus type creature. And he's been finding, you know, footprints and all these really wicked images he finds in these books of like Santa boiling children.
Yeah. The kid is doing his research through his books and starts to find these old tales of Santa, where Santa mm-hmm. is more of a Krampus character, almost like this demon rather than this like, I don't know.
That's
Santa's
come to punish,
saint, I guess. So,
yeah. And at one point, though, it was weird when the kid's like, punish me. He's like, yeah. smack my ass. He's like, I've been bad. We snuck up on that mountain. He's like, you got to. And he's like, what the fuck are you talking about? So this is when the elf brigade begins. And we learn that I don't think they ever say elves. One of our characters, the protagonist, says elves. But he's like, those are just Santa's helpers. And this army of naked, old, dirty men comes swarming like the Japanese on fucking Pearl Harbor Day, dude. They just everywhere. It's like show it up and just wieners flapping in the winds. Carrying like...
stayed with me all week, dude. Like I'm in the shower washing my armpit and shit, and then I just flash thousands of naked old wieners just coming at me, dude, out of the darkness.
Out of the darkness. That's exactly how it happens too.
Yeah.
It's like, because at first you just see the shapes, and then you're like, oh, every single one of them motherfuckers is butt-ass naked, just
and
running through the snow.
If you take yourself out of it for a second, the image is so horrific that you're seeing, at least for me, I don't know if I've told you this before, but I have an old people phobia. So, like,
you
seeing
have,
old
you
people
have.
Freaks me the fuck out, and then creepy old people, and then seeing their dicks added some sort of extra level of horror to it. Because, like, I've seen a dick, or maybe even two dicks, but never thousands of dicks, just a fucking cornucopia of dicks coming out of the darkness, dude. Old man dicks.
I want to draw a cornucopia now. I want to draw a cornucopia, just spilling dicks all over the
it's
place.
It's as horrific as when you see the dog in The Thing, except for if you Ooh. Just took the dog out and put dicks in it.
And he ran up to the ceiling, just a wieners flew out everywhere.
Just a big ball with just wieners hanging out of it. Yeah, dude.
I do find it so interesting that in the West, you know, a lot of older countries, you know, they censor their violence way more than we do, but not their nudity and shit like that.
No, like a dick we is are, fine.
But a dick is fine. It's the most like natural thing, dude. I mean, opposed to like, we just watch motherfuckers get like murdered everywhere. And it's like, yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm good. No, cut his fucking head off. No big deal. No big deal.
And you're like, I need to talk to my therapist.
Yeah, we need to take the dick back. Let all the dicks out. And Game of Thrones tried a little bit. I remember that one.
Goddamn Hodor's dick, dude. I can't get that out of my head either. Like, that's the dick I see in my nightmares.
Hodor.
Like, I have this reoccurring dream where Ronald McDonald is at the counter and he's ordering chicken McNuggets and he turns around and Hodor's dick is hanging out of the front of his pants. And he's got red pubes, dude.
Stop.
Just a
I hope that's your real
pubes.
Nightmare.
Dude, it is. I'm not shitting you. I've had that nightmare, dude. I can't make that shit up.
Okay, so maybe you do need to talk to your therapist a little bit and see if you can figure that out.
So, Felton, tell me about your dreams. Oh, this one's going to bother you, Doc.
Right. And just wave it's the Hamburglar next week. You don't know what he's trying to burgle. He's trying to get it all. Okay, so we do get this army of elves, and they are getting now. Well, our kid has gone off to Hangar 24, and through this whole movie, his little advent calendar, he was taping it up, like stapling that shit up. Like, we don't want this to happen, everybody. So they all end up in Hangar 24. We got naked elves trying to bust down the door, and that's when they turn around and see fucking Santa. And that's when I was like, yes, okay. I am sold on this. I wish we would have got to actually see it, you know what I mean? Right. But the idea was there, and I was like, that's super freaking cool. Like this nightmare, you know, Lovecraftian monster that's just going to explode out of the ice and start eating and boiling children. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Because it's a mountain, you know, it's a mountain of ice with these horns that reach all the way up to the ceiling. Yeah. Like, this is a massive, scary Santa Claus. But we also find all the kids that have been brought in sacks, and they're just waiting for Santa to wake up to get all these kids. The elves have just been taking the kids, bringing them here in bags. Our one guy's trying to find his kid. Well, at the same time, they're like barricade the door. And then this turns from like straight horror movie to more like Home Alone-ish a little bit. Right. Yeah, it takes a pretty crazy turn, but I like it for that reason, because it never, even though, you know, you have some imagery that I think, you know, a Western culture would be like, weird dicks. Like, dicks don't really bother me. Like, if my kid was like, yo, that's a naked dude, I'd be like, who fucking cares? Like, you know, you either, I'm a naked dude at some point, you're a naked person at some point, like, who cares? Because I feel like this never gets super horror-y.
No, it's not overly scary.
This is where it turns and gets lighter, and it really, it's almost like fun and has this like uplifting fucking Christmas message.
Right.
And I think that's where, you know, when you said the writer, or he had to direct this thing, because somehow this works. Like, this next sequence we're going to talk about works, but it shouldn't.
Right.
It should not fucking work, but it's so enjoyable.
Right.
So where we go from here is our little boy is like, I got a plan. And he's like straight Rambo, like a really, you know, powerful shot of him, like a down low shot where he's like, listen, you got to listen to me, and we're going to
do this.
Well,
he's turned himself into a little superhero. He's got full on orange and yellow pads on and shit.
And he had the piece of cardboard on his ass so that Santa couldn't whip him. Duct taped all the way around him. I was like, that's genius, dude. Yeah. I was like, you didn't miss a beat. And so, he takes charge, and he's like, this is what we got to do. That what they want is the kids. Like, we can't have any kids here. And we did see all the radiators and everything that were being used to defrost Santa. It was like, you know, every hair dryer in town, everything that can be warm. They're trying to defrost him. He's like, we got to get the kids out. That's when Kurt Russell is like, I'll fly the fucking helicopter. He's like, listen, get in the helicopter, bring the net down. We're going to load up all the kids, and we're going to use a giant net of kids. And you got to think, it's fucking freezing outside. This is like, these kids would all be frosted. Dude, flying in a giant fucking bag.
Yeah, dude. Air. Like, he creates a giant nutsack of children. Like, they're just all shoved in.
Which isn't a real nutsack, like a giant thing of children, potential children. I mean, that's unless you're like, anyway,
that's existential, dude, what you just came up with.
But yes, it's a giant cargo net full of bagged up children. And he's like, can we take them out? Yeah. And he's like, can we take them out of the bags? He's like, no, just fucking keep them in there. So he lowers the net down through the hangar structure that we're in, load everybody up, picks it up. And they're like, okay, you got to deal with Santa, because he had found a bunch of dynamite. They're like, you deal with fucking Santa and we'll do the rest. And so they lead the kids like a Pied Piper of, like you said, a nutsack full of little bag children. Like the Pied Piper leads them away. And he's like, he's on the walkie-talkie. Like the kid's just riding the edge of the cargo net like a badass. Like, hey, down here, just take them to the reindeers. Like, don't worry about it. We'll treat them just like the reindeer. Corral them. And so they're now headed to the reindeer while our other three, or our other two, are drilling holes into the ice. And this thing is rigged with so much fucking dynamite. I loved it. There's no room for error here. It's not like, oh, just throw a stick at it and hope for the best. Yeah. No, we're going to put 2,500 sticks of dynamite. We're going to drill a hole for each of them, and we're going to pack this thing. It's the 4th of July everybody dreamed of as a kid. So they've got it all rigged up, but our real kind of heart moment comes a little bit later on. Not later on, but essentially in the next scene, where they get the... and this was foreshadowed earlier on that the gate didn't work quite right. And so they get to the gate and our little guy's like, the gate's broke, bro. I gotta go. And he does a full fucking like slow motion swan dive. I mean, we get this killer like Hans Gruber slow mo. You know what I mean? Yeah. Falling. And the music is swelling coming up to this crescendo. And you're like, holy shit. Like, what the fuck is going on? Like, is this kid? Are they really going to sacrifice this kid? Because all the naked Santas are like, the naked elves are coming in to get the kid. Switch real quick back to dad and homeboy. They are now taking off away from the structure. And he's got a super long line of fucking fuse or whatever, or cable, because it was on a trigger. He's got a super long line of cable. They keep going. And that truck looked like, when they blew this thing up, dude, like it was getting shaken around a little bit. Like this, like they felt that force, or best effect ever. Like, because it looks like the truck felt some of that blast, and they were like, just keep fucking going, dude. This is wild. But they blow it up. And as soon as they blow up Santa with this amazing explosion and, you know, a good one liner, like Merry fucking Christmas, Santa, or something like that, as he hits the button and it explodes into a just a mess of Santa and ice and all this stuff. And again, the movie takes a turn right here for the. I want you to walk us through where the movie goes from here. So from the elves losing the spell, they're no longer nefarious. They all drop their pickaxes and stuff, and they're just wandering around the reindeer pen like, holy fuck, like, what the fuck? There's no Santa, so there's no control. It's like the hive mind was broken.
Right.
And so why don't you take it away from here, Felton?
I can't do it, Joe.
Oh, that's okay. Even if you can't. Maybe if I kick you a little bit of a refresher. They try to figure out what they're going to do with all these Santas or all these elves.
Right.
And they're like, hey, let's put a price tag on them. And for the next year, we're going to clean them up. And we're going to brainwash them to be Santa Clauses.
Right. What a plan.
And he's like they're pulling somebody by on a cart, and he's holding his son, like showing all of them, like, be nice to the kid, hand them the present. And like one gets out of line, like starts like shaking the kid, and they'll smack him upside the head and be like, no, be nice. And so they've got them all just naked in this like shower where they're just scrubbing them all down, shooting them with water. And then they finally give the one a Santa hat, and you see this like big goofy smile on this old man's face. And then we see them put them all into crates and literally board them up in crates. It's just these sad little Santas sitting in this warehouse full of crates, and it says like Zimbabwe or some shit on it. And they're gonna send Santas all over the world, because he's like, oh, how much could you get for a Santa? And he's like, oh, this much. How much is that? He's like, $16,800,000. And he's like, oh, fuck, okay. And so they program all of these Santas to be like amazing Santa Clauses and ship them all over the world. And the name of their organization is Rare Exports. And I'm like, that's so dope.
These old men sitting in the crates reminded me of Leprechaun because
a little bit. For 10 years. He was in there for a while, dude. He was in there for a long time. Hopefully these ones get there by Christmas. But so, and it, you know, this one is, I think, hard first viewing for sure because you're reading a ton. Like you are, you know, trying to keep up. I've seen it three or four, maybe even five times now. So I know enough of the story to where I've had the opportunity to pay attention to exactly what's going on in the scene.
Right.
And I think that's where this movie shines. Like you said, the production value is high, dude. So like good, it's. Yeah. Yeah, and they put the money where it needed to be. Like, right. Yes, we need a little bit of CGI, but not much. And they did saw the fucking horns off Santa, which was sweet. And then went riding away in the back of the truck. He's sitting between both the horns, and he's just like, yeah, Merry Christmas, motherfucker. What I and so I'll give you that. You know what I mean? Like, there's probably certain shit you missed and didn't see. But as a first viewing, how many geriatric wieners out of five do you give Rare Exports? And are they flaccid or hard wieners?
I'm going to give it 400,000 flaccid wieners.
That's fair, dude. So you did not enjoy it very much.
No, 4 out of 5.
Oh, I thought you said flaccid like it was a piece of shit.
Oh,
like
no. The single, wieners, okay. Dude, wieners, okay, flaccid or hard. I don't really care one way or the other.
Right. It's
of
all
course
good.
They're going to be flaccid, dude. They were out naked in the cold in
dude,
Finland.
So cold.
How did they get so many old men to be like, yeah, I'll strip naked and fucking walk around.
Dude, they probably take fucking ice baths and shit. You know what I mean? Like, they're used to that level of cold. I feel the same way about Michigan, though. No, you hear that? No. Michigan, no. There's my Midwestern accent. But when it hits like 45 degrees around here after winter, 30 degrees and the sun's out, motherfuckers will be out in tank tops and shorts and shit. Like, oh, like give me all the sun. I'll take it all. So I kind of get that. But you're right. Some of that had to have been on real snow. Like yeah. And I've done a polar plunge. That shit's cold as fuck to stand in your bare feet in the snow. Damn, but hey. Dude. But they committed and they made a really cool little thing. I'm glad you enjoyed it, dude.
No, I enjoyed it. For sure, I need to watch it again because, like you said, you also told me not to get too high to watch this thing.
Right.
So I took the edible at the beginning, and that was why I couldn't walk us through the end because that thing was kicking in hard, and it was a lot of just, like, images hitting me in the face by the end.
Because it does take a crazy turn.
It
you know what I mean?
It takes a total tonal shift, like you said, right. In that third act. So I
it becomes almost
like,
uplifting.
Right.
Yeah, becomes,
yeah. And yeah. I can't explain it, but I was like, I was just there for the ride. Like, I wasn't overthinking any of it or being like, well, why is this happening? Or I was just like, yeah, man.
And that's what this is. I think it's something, you know, it's just a fun ride.
Yeah.
Kind of like we had kind of touched on it. I know you haven't seen it because it was on one of our lists, but Deadly Games, that fucking Home Alone from like France or some shit where the kid is like this dude's like a murderer trying to murk this kid.
Right.
And he's fucking like setting real traps and shit up. It's like what Home Alone should have been. But yeah, but it still has that little bit of lightheartedness that I find in this movie where it's not an overly, you know, 74 Black Christmas where it's like that is bleak as fuck.
Right.
Like that movie ends. She just all the cops leave her alone. Just her. From the fucking attic, and you're like, he's got a collection of bodies up there. They never caught him. This is fucking scary. This one is much more like, oh, that's cool, man. Yeah. Like, it's just a far out, you know, Christmas tale that's a ton of fun. But yeah, dude, I'm glad you liked it.
It's got a little bit of Stranger Things in the beginning with the kids kind of trying to figure shit out, you know, and.
Well, and that's the thing, too, is the kid act like all the actors in this kill it, but the kids really do a great job. And that for me is always like, where did you find a kid that can act like that?
Your own.
Because
son?
That's the hardest. Right. But that's one of the hardest things to do, dude, is to find, you know, kids who can sell something. And even his little buddy that walks up with a cigarette, and it's like, you got a smoke, bro. And he's like, grabs it. He's like, get the fuck out of here. Like, where's your dad at? You know, he's at this weird transition point in life where he's trying to be one of the men, but still friends with the boy. And yeah, so overall, it's a ton of fun. If you haven't checked it out, it is on Peacock, I think, maybe Hulu. It's available on a few different streaming services. So, and
I
if you
Tubi.
Wonder, And I think you're right. It is on Tubi. Yeah you're right. Which is sweet because Tubi's free. Yeah, I tell people that shit all the time. I'm like, don't sleep on fucking Tubi, dude.
Right. Yeah.
Like, there are some gems on there that you can dig up.
Yeah. And it's totally free. No subscription service. Like, everybody's like, no, I don't need another subscription. And you're like, no, just download it. And you get all that shit for free. And right, there's ads, but it's like at the beginning of the movie. It doesn't cut through the
movie. It's not overwhelming. It's not YouTube that's throwing it at you every fucking 45 seconds, it feels like. But so, yeah, check out Rare Exports. It's a ton of fun. It's very different. Probably a movie that maybe a few of you haven't seen. If you haven't, for sure, check it out. It's for a great time, man. Yeah. It's a great time. Okay, so we got a great little Christmas. We're kicking off December, right? Doing a little Christmas horror. Next up, I think we've got an American Horror Story or an American Christmas Story.
No American, just a Christmas, yes, a Christmas horror story.
A Christmas horror story. Fuck, I don't know why I got American in there. But yes, a Christmas horror story, which for me is one that when you said you hadn't seen it, I was pretty excited about it. I think it's another one that gets slept on a little bit. But real quick, did you watch that sequel to A Christmas Story from last year?
Yeah, I did.
It was good. I watched it again the other night, dude.
I was like, there's no way this can be good. And it really is, it's heartfelt, dude. And it does what the first movie did, but not just rehash all of the same jokes.
Did you ever see the one with Daniel Stern? A Christmas Story 2?
Oh, yes.
That was bad. That one was really bad. But this one was really solid. So we'll be back next week with that Christmas horror story. And it's one that I'm excited to chat with you about. But before we go, we have to do the thing we do every week. And that's a little bit of positivity with yours truly, Pops Ghostly. Man, where do we start? So I had something all lined up for today and all ready to go, something I had been working on, and something switched this morning. I was chatting with my wife and, you know, all this stuff that I'm telling to you and everybody here, nothing is my own. I hope you believe that nothing is my own. I've collected this from great thinkers all over the world. It's all available to anybody who wants it. Like, nothing is like, ooh, Pops Ghostly's got all the answers. No, I just fucking, you know, paid attention to a couple people here and there, and it seemed to work out. But my wife was having kind of a rough morning. I woke up in a little bit of a rough morning, you know, just attitude wise. And I was like, okay, I need fucking 10 minutes, dude, just to sit and breathe. So I did that. And then I kind of shifted my mindset a little bit. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to be there for her. I'm going to go out there. And I just went out. She was like doing dishes or some. She was doing dishes. And I walked out there and I was like, I feel this urge. I got to go do something for my wife. So I went and started rubbing on her shoulders a little bit. And I got big fucking bear paw hands. So it works out good. You know, really digging this. She's like, oh, that's good. And then I took over doing the dishes. And that's when everything shifted over for me, because it's been a while since I actually stood and just did them. Like, Shayna does the dishes a lot of the time, but I had spent a solid year doing the dishes, trying to develop a mindful doing of the dishes.
As
soon as I got back in there, dude, it clicked like fucking just riding a bike. I was like, oh, there is peace here. There is calm here. It took me like a fucking year. Like a solid year of doing them, being like, there's no peace here. There's no, fuck these dishes. You know what I mean? Right. Like, but getting back to that space, and it just reminded me that, you know, if you want a different result, you have to change. You have to. And more recently, I was talking to a buddy of mine about, like, you know, where we'd be in 5 years or some shit like that. And I don't even, you know, kind of goal planning and things, but I don't even really think about that so much anymore, because it's just like, just do the right here, right now. You know, do the right here, right now. The only place you will ever exist is right where you are right now. So even if you're in your car listening to my voice somewhere, the only place you are ever going to exist is where you are at right now. Now, that's not to say don't have a goal. Have a goal. But are my actions right now moving me toward that goal? You know, is what I am doing moving me towards what I want myself to be? And what I want myself to be is radically different from what Felton wants his self to be. And that's awesome. We are all wholly unique in that way. But I think it's hard, because I was even reading something this morning and sharing it with my wife. And it's hard to get there. But I feel like once you get there, that work then transforms everything else. Like, it's the foundational work you can do inside of you. Change. If you can do the fucking dishes, without something playing in your ear, without something going on here. And if you can just hold the weight and say, hey, I feel the weight of this plate in my hand. Holy fuck, water. I can be okay with water. Like, that shit's like the very foundation of life. Like, I tell you what, as soon as water runs out, nothing's going to matter anymore except for fucking water. We're going to have Mad Max, motherfuckers. Like, water's important. So you can just be there. But, and even if you're not, you know, if you're one of those people whose mind races, I understand that and I feel for you and I'm sorry. That shit put me in the fucking hospital. And I stayed there for 3 days because my mind got to the point where it was like, nah, fucking, we're like broke, dude. Like, this is fucking, like, something's not right. And so even if your mind is racing a little bit, just try to come back and just say, hey, or if it's just, I'm just breathing. Breathing is the fucking secret. It is. If you want to know what the one thing I could tell you, and I'll probably say this over and over and over again, learn to breathe. Learn to talk to your body with your breath. Learn to just be okay just being. Because if you're sitting there even doing the dishes and I'm like, fuck, this pissed me off this morning. I got to do that this afternoon. I got this going on. You're not even existing. You're like living in places that don't exist. And anger doesn't do anything good for us. What does anger do good? When have you been really fucking angry and got a positive result out of it? Like super angry, like punch the fucking wall. I've done it. I put holes in drywall. Like that angry. And when have you seen a positive result? You tell me. Maybe, you know, if somebody out there listening is like, yo, I get angry as fuck and the best shit happens in my life. Everybody loves me. I make all the money. People at work get along with me. It's like fucking awesome. I'm just an angry motherfucker all the time. And sometimes that's the defense mechanism for us. You know, we've been hurt a lot. Everybody has suffered a lot. Everybody. And that's the thing is, you know, you and I are no different in we both experience suffering. We have to get away from this idea of, oh, my suffering is worse than your suffering or your suffering is worse than my suffering. No, you and I have felt the same exact fucking bottom of the barrel shit, dude. Like everybody has. And we can't compare in that way either. Well, I fucking almost killed myself. So you don't even know. Like, no, that's not how it works. Like your suffering, I will never try to minimize someone's suffering because that feeling is real, even if the, you know, whatever predicated that. But you also can't blame your suffering on other people. Well, so-and-so wasn't nice, so I have a right to be mad. No, you fucking don't. You just let them take up residence in your brain. And now you're angry for no fucking reason. When you get to that place where you're just like, it doesn't matter. What other people say truly doesn't matter. I will listen to them super intently. I will listen to every word you ever say to me. And I will try to be the best listener I can be. But what you say is not going to change how I feel. I'm not going to give you that power anymore. And that's a hard place to get to, dude. It is a hard place. It takes work. And our culture is absolutely against it. Like everything is against it, you know, the way we live. Annabelle asked me this morning, Daddy, why don't you like TikTok? I took like 3 or 4 breaths and I responded to her. I was like, how do I respond to a 4-year-old with this question? And I said, okay, why do I want to like TikTok? And we went over and the cat was out. I went over and I talked to Iggy and I said, because when I'm looking at TikTok, I can't spend time with Iggy. Like when I'm looking at something, and I brought it back to her, I was like, when I'm looking at TikTok, I can't play with you. When you're looking at YouTube, you can't play with me. I was like, it takes us away. And that's not, and I'm not against anybody who's on that shit. I know everybody's on that shit. I'm like, I'm not picking on you. I hope you don't feel that whatsoever. Like I'm not saying because you do that, like I view you differently. I don't. It is a system that is designed to keep people completely fucking addicted and engaged. And that's cool. You know, all the evidence is out there. The science is done. But we like being in that space. But I had to break it down for her a lot smaller and just say, hey, you know, when I'm there, I can't be in the real world. And that's what I'm trying to do, dude. And then the more I try and like, the more I get closer to what I feel like some of this stuff is, a lot of things seem gross. Like, I feel like I'm walking around with like, and I'm not here to judge anybody, but it feels like the living dead, dude. It feels just following like a pattern. And I see the shit, like what Romero was trying to say when he was doing Dawn of the Dead and shit like that. Like we've become this unfettered fucking capitalist society and everybody has an answer for you. But the reality is you have the answer in you. It's inside of you already. There's nothing special about me. There's nothing special about you. It's just we all have 24 hours in the day. And what do you want to do with it? If you can find 30 seconds to just say, hey, I'm going to stop and just take a breath and relax. That's a good thing, man. Chase that shit. And just, you know, it doesn't have to be all at once. And it's not, you're not identifying, oh, I'm a Buddhist now, or I'm a this now, or I'm a that now. No, because I think that's what locks us in is all those labels where I'm this. And now I have to carry this set of beliefs with me because I identify as this, that, or the other. No, I'll just show the fuck up and whatever you are, dude, I'll just sit there and listen to you. And it doesn't have to be anything. I'm not bringing anything to it. I'm not going to bring, you know, if we engage in some good conversation, that's a great thing. But at the same time. So yeah, I know that was a lot today. Shit. That was a lot of, but yeah, man, that's, it's like all hit me at once this morning. And And I will say that I noticed, you know, when there was tension in my house, I created the place of peace and carried it around. I shared it a little bit with my daughter. I shared it with my wife. I brought that piece and then was just like, hey, even if it's not saying, yo, be fucking, but you know, you can bring that with you. And it's like, okay, I'm just going to calm down. And then the rest of the room starts to calm down. It's wild. But if I was to run out there screaming at everybody or fucking pissed because something interrupted what my view, what I thought reality should be, then it would have been a bad day for everybody. I'd probably still be pissed off. I probably wouldn't be talking to you right now, you know? So it's a lot. Just anyway, you got anything you want to add to that?
You are an enlightened soul, sir. I will say that.
But I'm not, dude. Everybody can be. Yes.
I know you're in turmoil all the time, but like the fact that you can take a step back and that you can look at it like this. It's a big deal, and you have a gift, and I'm glad that we're sharing it with people on this podcast.
Me too, dude. Me too. I had somebody. Oh, go ahead.
Please. I was just gonna say, I hope that someday we get a bigger pedestal for you. That sounds bad, but you know what I mean. Right. A bigger platform for you to be able to like help people, because I really think
I would have
some good ideas. You know,
I would love to be able to do that, dude. And that's one of the hardest parts is giving up all yourself, like to be like to. And that's I don't know. But I feel that now. I feel in my soul like I just want to give, like I don't want this anymore. I don't want Pops Ghostly. I used the Pops Ghostly moniker because everybody needs a name, you know.
Yeah.
But I just want to be there, like bringing nothing with me and just be there for people and be like, I'm here. And sometimes I feel like we need that so much more than we need anything else, just for somebody to sit, look us in the eye and say, I am here with you right now. I see you. Right. I am joyful that you are here. Like, this is fucking cool that we're humans existing together right now. Like, it's amazing. We're floating on a fucking space rock in this huge expanse of, well, we got a good guess. You know what I mean? Like, that's in and of itself is we're celebrating. Like, that's fucking crazy. It's crazy. So, yeah, dude, I hope, you know, maybe we reach one or two people. And what I was going to say is I had a friend of mine. He's like, at first I wasn't sure about the positivity thing. He's like, but I really fucking, it fits good, dude. It fits good.
Honestly, I wasn't sure about it when you brought it up in a horror podcast. I was like, where does this belong in a horror podcast? But somehow it works. It's a nice way to end the show. Sometimes we're talking about some dark shit that is a little hard to swallow. And it's like you said, the medicine that you're giving people, it is hard to swallow sometimes from other people you wonder so often when somebody's trying to help us, it's like, well, why? What are they getting out of it? And you're not there because you're not even asking for $85,000. You just want to genuinely help people, and it doesn't benefit you in any other way than it just makes you feel good. And that's one of my
5 years goal is was something I'm working towards is a nonprofit that I think could be cool. I'm not going to say anything much because I don't want the, you know, name and shit going anywhere. But yeah, I'm pretty excited and just trying to find ways to you. And it's so cool because I get to do it every day in my chair, dude. Like somebody shows up and I can be like, I can fucking be here for you, man. I can be here for you. And we can hang out and we can have a great time. And I can show you that. And I'll end right on this thing. So I was talking to Shayna about it the other night and a couple of the women that I work with, because you talk about those biases. You know, we bring this idea of why would somebody just want to help me? And that is so fucked up, dude, that is a cultural bias that is normal. Yeah. Why have we created a culture where kindness is abnormal? It's an abnormal thing to the point where you're like, yo, somebody trying to fucking sneak me one, like give me the okie dokie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But one of my goals in my current goals that I've been working toward is to be a man that women or anyone is just so comfortable around. They never feel, you know, I want people to feel that like ease and to create that, you know, because so often all the women I know in my life are like, yo, it's fucking dirty out there. Like people are gross. They're doing this. And I'm like, fuck, man. Like, why? And I'm like, well, I can't change the world, but I can change me.
You can't even you can't even like smile at a guy without worrying that he's gonna be like, oh shit, she wants to fuck. Like, no, come on, you know?
No, yeah, and it's hard, dude. And that's what I've gotten the habit of, and this is a quick thing that anybody could do. I started the habit of, if I wanna pay someone a compliment, I ask them, is it okay if I pay you a compliment? You know, I don't just say it, hey, that's a nice outfit. Is it okay if I pay you a compliment? And if they say yes, I say, that's a really nice outfit. I just wanted to let you know that you look really nice, you know, and do it in a different way, that's because people like compliments. And that's the hard part, is how do you approach that? You know, you put 2 hours into your outfit for some people, and you know, you're trying to look really nice. And but yeah, it's a crazy world. But anyway, so that's my goal, is just to make everybody like be able to create this little bit of peace where people just like, fuck, I can relax with this dude. Like, it's just, you know what I mean? I'm not worried about anything.
It's funny that you brought up the dishes thing real quick, because I went to a friend's giving last Saturday. And
nice.
The lady that hosted it was sitting there, and she's doing the dishes. And man, we had like 30 people, and she's washing the dishes. And we're like, oh, sorry. And she goes, you know, I used to hate to do the dishes. But she goes, then I thought about it in a different way. What other task can you take on that you can begin and complete in such a small amount of time and have a sense of satisfaction when you're done?
Right.
Do the dishes.
Do the dishes. And you know what? And it's a great spot too, because if you want to practice that, people will always let you help do the dishes.
Fucking A, right?
They will always let you help. So you could be like, hey, I'll pick up the dishes real quick. And it's like, oh, there's chaos everywhere else, but I get to stand here for 10 minutes and just fucking relax.
Exactly.
And just do the dishes. Exactly. All right, dude. I think we did it, man.
We did it.
I think we did it.
Yeah.
Another good one. Episode 7 in the bag. We've been getting a ton. I know with the other show, I used to like read the reviews and stuff. I don't know if I want to do all that. If you want to, you know, I think it's super cool that people are leaving reviews and whatnot. I cherish every single one of them. Like, it puts a huge smile on my face when I see it come through. I guess if somebody wants us to read them, maybe, you know, shoot a message over or something like that. If you'd like to hear that stuff. But as people continue to give those things, the rates and the reviews and stuff like that, just know that it means the fucking world to us. Like, seriously, every word you have written, I've read it, and I've been like, man, it puts a big smile on my face.
And if you want to send us something, I set up an email for us. It's Sweet. The horrorpoppodcast@yahoo.com.
Nice. Went with the Yahoo, dude. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. I'm all about the, I'm in a great regression right now, just turning things off in my life. And I like going back a little bit. So cool. So for the Horror Pop Extravaganza, I've been Pops Ghostly.
And I'm Felton Gigglesnatch.
And we will talk to you next week.
That's what my giggle snatch sounds like.
Gigglesnatch.